Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
They grind for the Bruins and they score off the draw from the point. Grizzlick with the shot. Picks up his fourth of the year, and the Bruins restore their one-goal lead. Pastrnak reaching for it, tipped off his stick to center ice. Race for a bouncing puck here. Joki Haru gets on the wrong side of it. Pastrnak trying to find a lane, scores! Pastrnak patient with the puck until he's got the right lane, and he rips it home. And Boston extends the lead here in the third period. Coyle over the Buffalo line. Into space, Richie takes a shot, scores! Short side for Richie. And Dustin Tokarski not happy with his reaction after that one as well, and Boston extends the lead to 4-1.
There's got to be some simplifying, and if you get a shot, you got to take it and make the play off the shot. I think that breaks down the PK a lot, and it's definitely something that is frustrating and we got to be better at.
There were things about it that were better, but clearly not where we want to be, so don't confuse better with where we want to be. With Dylan on that unit, I saw some things that we can do. The potential is there, and we have a short season left, so we've got to get after it, but we'll look to make some quick improvements on that. We got very frustrated very quick. We allowed ourselves to get frustrated partway through the first one, and then that carried over to maybe squeezing our sticks tight the rest of the way. It might have carried over even into the game for some of those guys if we're on it the rest of the game. There are some things I didn't like that carried over in the form of frustration and not so positive energy that I think hurt us. So not only did we not score there, I think there was some carryover I didn't like from the first one to the next. You and even the 5x5.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, when did they stop using fake crowd noise at the hockey games? What did they, right? There's no fake crowd noise anymore. It was very quiet last night. You could hear the Bruins celebrating their goals. Weren't they using fake crowd noise?
It's very,
I don't know.
Very quiet last night.
There weren't fans there last night?
There were, but I mean, I thought
they
might.
Maybe that's when.
That's why, yeah. Because all of a sudden, I mean, it's just the other team scores and it's just, you know, pin drop. There's like nothing. I just felt like there usually was. Anyway, I'd like to start the show out with an apology today. I'd like to apologize to the person whose car I clipped in one of my dreams last night. I drove away and I'm really embarrassed by that.
You hit and run in a dream.
Well, I wouldn't say hit and run. What I was, I barely clipped the car. Okay, I didn't.
Wasn't there a famous line? If you cross me in a dream, if you hit me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize. You're doing that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that really something?
What is it? You better wake up and apologize. Is it from a movie? Muhammad Ali?
Song?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Really? No kidding. I didn't know that.
Or maybe it's a movie too. Reservoir Dogs. You shoot me in a dream. You better wake up and apologize. Muhammad Ali, wake up and apologize. Yeah, it's a famous thing. And you are waking up and apologizing.
Actually, what, Brayton, do you remember this? Or no, I thought maybe you
remember. No, I was just going to make a comment that my wife tells me this all the time. She has dreams where, like, I'll, you know, have an affair or something like that.
Oh,
she'll wake
wow.
up all angry and then she'll wow. be like, I want you to apologize. And I'm like, I didn't do anything, I swear.
Does she punch you and you wake up like, what the hell was that for? No, I don't know if it was such a slight clip. I probably didn't do any damage, but like I was trying to get around a car and it was winter and I kind of skidded a little bit and I clipped the car and the car pulls over and I'm thinking, well, there can't be that much damage. So I drove away, which is really not, of course, not the right thing to do. But don't worry about it, Jeremy, because I wanted to apologize, but in a later dream, this did not happen in the same dream. But
you submitted an insurance claim in a later dream.
No. Although that's a good idea. No, in the last dream I had before I woke up, my car was stolen.
Ah, well, karma.
So that, right? That's what I'm saying. I probably didn't need to apologize because apparently it got back to me and someone stole my car in the dream I had just before I woke up this morning. So anyway, I wanted to get that off my chest.
The quote is, if you even dream of beating me, you'd better wake up and apologize.
Oh, that's a great quote.
Yes, it is. He was the
that's
master.
That's so Ollie. That is fantastic.
He was the best. The greatest.
You know, I don't know if you saw this. I started watching and I need to finish it. A few weeks ago, ESPN did like a special. I think they reran an old special, basically. But anyway, it was like 50th anniversary of one of the Ollie Frazier fights. I think the one at the Garden. And so they're running the fight back. And they have old interviews with Ali and Frazier, who I think were actually together for these interviews. And he is just like trash talking him and everything. And they're interspersing interviews and commentary with actually replaying every round of that fight. So I know you're a big Ali guy. So I don't know if, you know, if it's at ESPN Plus or whatever the heck they have, what they call it now. You have, I think you have that. So you might want to check for that. Ollie Frazier, 50th anniversary.
I'll keep an eye out.
Show. It was, like I said, it was on a few weeks ago. So it's still sitting on my DVR and I never got around to it.
Okay.
All right, I got a question for you today. Happy Friday, by the way. Sabres did lose last night. We will get some hockey talk in this morning. Paul's going to join us a little bit later.
Happy Friday and happy winter's over. And it's not even you saying it or Bulldog saying it. Patrick Hammer has put the cap on snow season.
What?
I just want to mention that.
I feel like a weather guy should not do that.
I think when he does it, that means it's real. One of the first things I saw this morning, that should do it for our 2021 snow season.
Oh, I'm going to have to DM Mr. Hammer right here. That is not.
That means it's over. That's it. No debate, no issues. It is over.
I would not advise that.
Well, you wouldn't advise it because you don't know what you're talking about with that subject.
I don't know what I'm talking about with a lot of subjects.
You and I say winter's over. We just guess. He's the guy with the science.
So he's looking at models and everything?
Yep. No more snow. Okay. I mean, it might get cold again, but no more snow.
What are you basing this on? Okay, I'm going to see what he... Well, he listens to the show. He's a big fan. He loves the show.
I can't wait for him to send you maps of jet streams and... You're gonna have more work on your hands as a result of this.
He's offered to come on the show anytime we need him. Earlier this week when we were talking about the snow, he sent me, he DM'd me and said, you know, hey, guys ever need me, let me know. So
we were too mad at him when the snow was in the forecast.
Yeah, I wasn't really.
But now
happy
that it's in
that.
The rearview mirror, he's welcome.
Yeah, I had to run the defroster this morning and I've been in the 20s for the low this week. Winter's over. All right. Well,
over.
But you know,
and not just winter's over, because winter's been over. We're into spring.
Yeah.
But the snow is over.
Yeah, okay. I guess if he says so. But, you know, this just in, kind of like me with Pick the Bills. Sometimes weather people are wrong. You know, they
sometimes
can project stuff out, and it's not 100% perfect scientific fact. So what I need, if I need warmer temps so I can actually... you know, put grass seed in and do things that I need to do when it's not in the 30s or 40s at night. I need warmer lows. I need everything to get going and move up a little bit so I can do the work I need to do, you know? Wife wants to put in, you know, do the flowers and the flower beds and the mulch and all this, and I got dead grass I got to deal with. I can't do any of that stuff when it's in the 30s at night. It's just not ready yet. All right, what was my question? Oh,
yeah. Question.
Yeah, so... I wanted to try. I don't know how to explain this on the air. I texted you, but I was thinking
about. That's
going to
be a problem. That's usually what we do.
What? Explain things on the air?
Yeah,
so
I'll
you think
try.
That's an issue if I can't actually explain what I was thinking about?
Yeah, we try to.
I got 3.5 hours to figure this thing out. No, I was trying to think about, you know, there are different positions you could say, you know, the Bills could address. You know, this is the. There's no like crying need, I don't think. You wouldn't look at the first pick and go, well, they absolutely have to have a.
Corner two is what people would say they absolutely have to have.
Crying need.
Crying
okay,
need.
Okay, I would disagree. It's not a crying need.
I'm with you. I also disagree, but that's the number one answer that the highest percentage of Bills fans, if you were, let's say you've got like a Scantron with bubbles and you can only pick three positions, CB2 is on every sheet.
Ooh, I remember those.
Yeah.
You know, but I will tell you this. I don't have it in front of me. I could go back in my feed. I think... Not this week, but I think last week, I think I did a Twitter poll. If it comes down to these two positions, cornerback two, edge, what do you think the Bills would do at their first pick? It was a pretty close vote. I mean, it wasn't like 75% cornerback two, 25%. I don't think there is a crying need. I mean, you'd have to, like, if they don't address this position in round one, you'd be like, Brandon, I love you, buddy, but what the hell are you doing? Do you not know what's going on with your roster right now? I mean, for 4 years, is it a need? Sure. I mean, you'd like to get somebody to play 100% of the snaps opposite of Trey White, but for 4 years, they've basically rotated guys in and out, and it hasn't killed them. So, it's not a crying need. There is no crying need, which is what gets to my whole, in terms of positions, like, I want to try and figure out tiers. Tiers by position, first pick, most likely, possible, but not likely. And I want to bring up wide receiver with you because of a tweet from Yards Per Pass yesterday, I think, that you retweeted or responded mm-hmm. to. And then not happening. And all I right. so I've got four positions in most likely. No, five. Five positions in most likely. How many would you put in your most likely category?
Likely, I would put corner.
Yep.
Defensive end.
Yep.
Receiver and running back.
Okay,
I would put all four of those as likely.
Really? Okay, I put corner, edge, running back. I also added interior offensive line. Actually, you know what? No, that's possible, but not likely. Okay, cornerback, edge, running back. I threw in defensive tackle.
Okay.
So I got four spots in possible, not likely, and then linebacker, interior offensive line, wide receiver, and then not happening, well, we know quarterback.
Quarterback.
And I don't think offensive tackle, safety, or tight end are happening.
Tackle's definitely not happening.
Right. You got if they didn't re-sign, this discussion, I think, is interesting because, like, you could actually say they re-signed Milano and Darrell Williams. I think most people go, okay, they're not taking a tackle, they're not taking a linebacker.
Well, the point about running back, you can't take a running back because you took Moss and Singletary in the third. You can't take a lineman because you've got Cody Ford on the second and a bunch of guys that are signed.
Yeah, right? Like, which is why I think they will – honestly, I do think they will take an interior offensive lineman
later
by the
on.
End of day two. I think
sure,
they would
sure.
address it on day two.
But there's no – I want to say not that there's no chance of a first-round lineman, but – if any lineman that goes in, the only person that they're really competing with, it would probably be Cody Ford.
Yeah.
Unless you're really bringing along Mitch Morse's replacement because he's going to save you like $7.5 million in cap space next year.
Yeah, the reason why I thought of interior offensive line, and I think, again, okay, I'll kick it down to possible but not likely because of two things, and you just hit them both basically. The, you know, four spots look set. We think Cody Ford will be a starter. I mean, Brandon Bean did say he is probably in their top five at his end-of-season Zoom call. We think he'll be the starter, but it's certainly not a lock, so there could be a competition for one starting guard spot, and I think they would want to bring in another, like I said, a guy who could play center and guard because of Cody Ford insurance or Mitch Morse insurance should he not be back after the 2021 season. But probably, you're right, probably not happening in the first round. I think that's a second or third round pick. I'd almost bet Brayton's paycheck they would take an interior offensive lineman in the second or third round on Friday.
Okay.
You know, I think that's, again, building the lines, making sure you've got depth. One guy might not be here next year. Brandon Bean the other day on the Zoom call basically said, you don't screw around in rounds two and three. That's a really big day. You save your gambles and your crazy picks and your whatever. He didn't say crazy, but you save those picks for day three. Day two, you got to hit it. And I think that would be a spot they would be looking at in day two. So corner, edge.
How much have they hit day two? Let's get to that.
Oh, you got to pull up their picks.
Hit really well on day two.
Hang on.
Is day two is still the second round?
Yeah, second and third round.
Second and third round. How have they hit on day two? In their first draft, that's Zay Jones. They trade up for Zay Jones. So that obviously didn't work out.
Yeah, no.
But they get Deion Dawkins at the end of that round. That works out. And round three also, there was no round three. They only had two picks, and it was second round picks. 2018, day two and day three for the Bills. It was no second-round pick again.
Edmonds in the first, right? They traded up, yeah.
Right, they traded up. So maybe that's one of the reasons I have – and Harrison Phillips.
Harrison Phillips.
Who, I mean, if we're being honest, he's a guy.
Yeah, you know, he's just a rotational guy right now.
He's a guy. We'll see. He had an injury, so he had a tough start to his career. But, you know, he's a guy. And then 2019.
You mentioned Dawkins in 17.
I did.
Right? Okay.
Dawkins is a win. Cody Ford?
Don't
TBD,
know.
TBD.
Yeah, right.
Don't know. And third round is Devin Singletary.
And then Dawson Knox.
Dawson Knox, Zach Moss. You know, we're talking about, okay, not bad. You could do a lot worse. You could do better.
Epinesa, too. So the only guy on the list in four
Dawkins.
Years you go is, right, is Dawkins. And every down player, an absolute legitimate starter, is Dawkins. So, yeah, that's an interesting point because I that struck me the other day. Of course, we all focus on the first pick. But like I said, Brandon Bean said he really loves day two of the draft. And those, you know, those are really important picks.
He might like it. This is just me guessing. I bet he likes day two because you can move more freely and it doesn't cost you nearly as much.
Yeah, the points chart, like that.
Right,
down.
They moved up for Knox. They moved up for Dawkins. They moved up for Zay Jones, right? So if you want to be trading and moving around and picking the guys that you really keyed in on, day one, that costs a lot to do it. Day two and third round? Whatever. What do you want? You want to swap a fifth and a sixth round pick? Sounds great. We like this player. You know, we're gonna go get this guy. So it's not as an expensive game of you know, the limits at the table. Instead of a $50 hand, it's a $20 hand. All right, good. Let me get in there for cheap.
Yeah. What? So wide receiver? You said in the likely category, huh?
Definitely.
Really?
Definitely.
Hadn't thought about that.
They are not that young at the position. So definitely.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley has one more year after this year. Emmanuel Sanders is on a one-year deal.
Try 2 years including this year. You're right. Yes.
Sure, you've got Gabe Davis. I mean, I'm thinking about a couple different – I actually, in our mock draft reaction, I'm going to throw a new name in there as a name we can react to. And, yeah, it's a receiver. I'll just give you that little hint. So, yeah, I think receiver is likely. I think receiver is one of the positions they would move up for.
Huh.
In the first round, too.
Yeah. I know that's what you meant in the first round, yeah.
Yeah, if they're interested in moving from 30 to 22, 26, my guess is they would do it for receiver and corner.
Would they do it for a running back?
No.
Maybe ETN if he's on the board in the mid-20s?
I don't think so. I think they would take a guy. I think they'd be on the table at 30, but I don't think they'd move for that. I think they would move because, you know, you're talking tiers or fits. I just think at corner or at receiver that they would think about moving.
Yeah, that's an interesting – that's kind of a little sub-discussion, you know, in addition to the tiers and who's in the most likely tier. I'm not expecting a move up, but if there is, what is the position or what positions are most likely for them to move up and try and get? And I would assume – I don't think they would move up for a cornerback. I really don't. But maybe they move up for an edge rusher. I just don't see them giving up – whatever draft capital it would take to give up to move up a handful of spots in round one. I think they want to not only keep all the picks they have, and based on what Bean said the other day, I think ideally he'd like to find a way to add a fourth-round pick since they don't select in the fourth round in the draft next week. Not happening. We know quarterback.
All set.
No safety.
Nope.
No offensive tackle. What are the chances of a tight end? Not happening?
Slim.
Possible but not likely tier?
In the first round, slim.
Slim.
Who are the tight ends in that neighborhood? Brevin Jordan?
You mean there's somebody after Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right? I don't think that's happening. I'd be really – that would be surprising to me if they grabbed a tight end in the first round. I don't think that's
after
happening.
Kyle Pitts, Pat Freiermuth of Penn State.
Yeah, yeah.
Tommy Tremble, Notre Dame. Hunter Long, Boston College. Brevin Jordan – Pro Football Focus's big board puts him 152. He's a guy I'd seen higher than that, but you know, for Pro Football Focus, I guess they don't like him that much. But there are other guys out there they could pick at tight end. I'd be surprised if they did.
I just don't see that happening. So okay, that's where we're going to start. We're going to talk a little bit about positions and tiers. Most likely, you can tell us what is in the most likely tier for you. What positions you know, we know quarterback is ruled out. You don't need to call and say kicker or punter, by the way, for the first pick in the draft, their first selection. We know that won't happen. 803-0550 to join us. It is Friday morning. You can join us on that. Get into the discussion. If there's anything else you'd like to bring up when it comes to the Bills, the draft, what all that fun stuff, that's fine. Sabres, you want to talk about that? If there's anything else on your mind in the world of sports, we are here to talk about it on our show today. We will have Paul coming up at 7:30. We will talk a lot about the Bills draft and their roster at 8:30 with Mark Ludwizak, the editor of Bills Digest. And we'll do a little mock drafting. Thor Nystrom from NBC Sports is going to join us at 9 o'clock this morning.
And there's a big mock draft this afternoon from 3 to 6. They're doing a big mock draft on the afternoon show.
It's not like a food draft. It's a football draft.
No. Right. They're not drafting states or anything.
I wasn't sure.
The weirdest thing. They're doing an actual draft of,
states? A state draft? Have they done a state draft?
They did a state draft, yes.
Oh, I didn't. State capital draft or state draft?
State.
Okay. I wonder if you're maybe getting a little too specialized there. Who was the first state taken? Hawaii?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Who would your first state be?
Oh, Hawaii's one and Colorado's two. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You brought up Colorado the other day.
Yeah. There was a ranking recently, and it was exactly right. Hawaii.
Yeah,
you pick Hawaii first.
You brought it up, yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends. If you've got to factor in how long it takes to get there, maybe Colorado would be number one.
You got a number 50? Who'd be the last state drafted?
West Virginia.
Well, that's but they have an elite football program in that state.
That they do.
It's tough because for states I haven't been to, it'd be tough to say. Right. I'll just go with North Dakota. I've been to North Dakota, so I'll put that 50th.
All right, then I'll take South Dakota. Which one? Where is Mount Rushmore? South Dakota, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't take South Dakota then. So okay, I guess it has to be North Dakota. Either that or I don't know.
What's in Nebraska?
Montana, cornfields, and
that's
Lincoln.
It.
Cornfields and the city of Lincoln that's all that's in Nebraska. 803-0550 to join us. Speaking of the draft, we will have coverage next week, extensive coverage Thursday, Friday, and Saturday here on WGR. It is brought to you by Taco Bell. Taco Bell is now hiring. Text BBG-TB to 85000. By The Quilted Squirrel, the marketing agency that believes your brand matters. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. And by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Clifton trying to play it up the boards for Corrali. He can't clear. Bjork. Good speed off the board. Scores! Ruotsalainen took the pass and tapped it home, and this game is tied at one.
We're going to go with that, the only goal for the Sabres as the first moment of the game. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Thank you, Dan Dunleavy, on the call. 803-0550 to join us. Yeah.
Stefan Diggs at TMZ for a little story here someone just sent us. Did you see that?
Yeah. I was not aware of it, but Randy Bushover, one of our colleagues here at WBEN, told me about it. And I thought, what? So I read the TMZ story.
Yeah, the story is that his car was found abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is, apparently, he says, they say, whatever. They find it.
The story is that he had a friend had borrowed the car, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And got a flat tire.
Yeah.
And apparently did not wait for the service and call on the tire and just left the car.
Right, just to get out of there and not wait for
right.
it.
Right. Diggs, I don't know if it was Diggs or someone who represents Diggs, whatever. They're saying it was not stolen.
And they're saying he wasn't in Florida.
Yeah, he was out of town.
So it wasn't him.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's for the person who tweeted in what's up with the Diggs car thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's what's up with the
that's
Diggs car
story.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, just abandoned. There's nothing in here about how it's damaged or it hit anything. It's just abandoned.
Yeah.
Six-figure car. Right.
So let's see. most likely category. And then I actually have a question about the word gimmick for you. Is that okay?
Sure.
I thought about that during the college football stuff and with the NFL rules discussions we had this week. I want to ask you about that. So real quick, if you're just joining us, hi. The positions you would put in the most likely category for the Bills' first selection in the draft next week. Got a tweet from Den. Corner, edge. Let's see. And then they gave me three slots, but I'll just go with one for most likely. Scott, running back. Sorry, I didn't pre-read the tweet. One, running back. Two, a back for running. Three, RB. Four, Harris. Five, ETN. I think Scott's thinking a running back is most likely to get taken there. I'll double check on him. And
I definitely don't think
back.
It's most likely.
Yeah.
But I think if you're trying to say it's not, you're just rooting for it to not be.
The gimmick thing, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
We've talked about it. I think the college football overtime rule is fantastic. I mean, there is the odd time or so where it could go five or six or, geez, did UB have like a 6 or 7 overtime game once with Western Michigan? Whatever. It can go and go and go and go and go. But I think it's wildly exciting. And, you know, you might have looked at it when they first thought and said, that's gimmicky. I want to ask you about gimmicky because I believe gimmicky has a negative connotation to it. Like the NFL rules when they voted this past week, the 4th and 15 onside kick alternative didn't, I don't even know if it got voted on. If it did, it didn't pass. Either that or it was tabled. The spot and choose idea, I don't think even made it to a vote. You know, we had Judy Batista on from NFL Network the other day. Spot and choose for overtime, which I thought, wow, that's really fun. That's really interesting. Hey, okay, sure. And she basically said, yeah, listen, it's not going to pass. It's too gimmicky for the NFL. Gimmicky can be a good thing. I mean, if you think the college football overtime rule is gimmicky, well, yeah, it's different for sure. We're not going to have a kickoff. Both teams are going to get the ball at the other team's 25-yard line. Go. It's great. It's fantastic. You're already in scoring position. I think it's wonderful. I love the college. Gimmicky can be a wonderful thing. Gimmicky, to me, sounds a little like the NFL looks at it and goes a little high and mighty with their gimmicky stuff. Gimmicky, is it a negative connotation all the time?
Usually it's a negative connotation, yeah, and a thing that you don't think is serious.
And you call it gimmicky.
Yeah. I mean, right. Sports are a gimmick. Professional sports
it's
are a gimmick.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Entertainment.
It's the kind of thing when someone says, oh, that's just a money-making scheme. Everything is.
Oh,
you know?
The soccer league.
Oh, they're just putting out third jerseys to make more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's why they hold games, too, you know? So everything's for money. Everything's. So, yeah, everything's a gimmick. A shootout in hockey. That's a gimmick.
Well, the
so
NFL
is,
can just kind of relax. It's not. It's a gimmick isn't a bad thing, NFL. If it entertains your fans, hey, man, give it a shot. College football's
fun. Well, those
fun.
Two things you mentioned, I don't need either of those two things. The spot and choose, to me, it sounds cool the first three times you talk about it, and then you realize it will be very boring. Very boring.
Only because no one's
everyone will
everyone's
settle into the same yard line.
Nothing, 12 yeah, nothing, to 17 yard line, and no
right.
one's going to want to take the ball.
Nothing will happen with that.
Yeah.
So it won't be that fun. And then the onside kick change, I really support that, but I do not have an answer for a ticky-tack defensive penalty.
No, and that was the biggest concern for coaches.
It's a realistic concern.
Yeah.
The idea that instead of an onside kick, you go with a 4th and 15. The answer is probably instead something that they've decided to do, which is limit the number of guys that can be in the setup zone to field an onside kick.
They took one guy away, though.
I mean, they used to have onside kicks recovered, I want to say it was about a 20% rate, and they changed the rules, so you can't have load one side as the kicking team, and then it dropped to 8%. So that was in the interest of safety. Okay, I think the answer is maybe continue to tweak the onside kick until you get it to a number that you like. I like Judy Batista's point with us. It should be hard to get an onside kick.
Yeah.
I agree.
But
it
possible,
should be hard.
Not impossible.
No, that's right. It should be hard. What they should do is decide what the percentage should be and then work towards it.
Yeah, what's 3 divided by 67? Whatever that is, 3 times out of 67 is you're getting into impossible territory.
Yes. It's gotten to a point where you cannot get an onside kick. The reason I like 4th and 15 is because, again, you're saying, well, that skews towards good offenses. Yeah, the whole sport does. You know, like so do touchdowns. And I like the idea of rewarding your players that matter the most as opposed to onside kicks, which tend to be pretty random. That said, I don't have an answer for the ticky-tack defensive penalty.
Yeah, it's funny, and I want to bring up something about the setup zone too. But I think it's interesting. I think it could go one of two ways, quite honestly. If you did 4th and 15, the first thing coaches thought about was, right, I'm going to get a silly 5-yard defensive holding or something like that or whatever. And it's going to be a first down on a 4th and 15. What? What are you doing to me? You know, you can't advance an onside kick on a 4th and 15. You could throw a 30-yard pass. I mean, but also I think, Jeremy, there may have been some concern that goes in the other direction. If you're the official, there's now a lot of pressure on you on that 4th and 15. What if they do the whole, it's the NHL officials swallowing the whistle in overtime in a playoff game. No. I mean, if it's going to be a penalty, you basically have to cut off one of the guy's arms for us to call it because we don't want to determine the outcome of a playoff game by a 2-minute penalty called by us. So it better be pretty darn bad. So you almost wonder, like, that goes with the NFL. Coaches don't want that ticky-tack penalty, and our officials prone to borderline calls, I'm not throwing the flag. It better be something, like, you'd have to drag the receiver down, basically. Because you don't want to be the guy that throws that flag on a ticky-tack call on 4th and 15. Maybe they don't do anything. And now coaches are not happy about that. It's got to be like a blatant penalty. The setup zone, I wonder. You know, and I wonder how they reach the, you know, you get to the magic number of 9 because I think it's the next number. So the setup zone is what, 10 to 25 yards from the line of scrimmage on the kick. So now the team that's trying to receiving team gets to put what? 9 guys in the setup zone, so it's basically 11 versus 9. And you're hoping that leads to maybe a few more recoveries on onside kicks. If it doesn't, maybe next year they go, all right, we're going to go 8 in the setup zone. I don't know if they just keep 5-on-5 to 3-on-3 or 4-on-4. Maybe they just keep reducing the number in the setup zone until they have like 11 versus 8, and maybe that bumps the number up. So I'll give them a shot. Maybe the extra 2 men will allow you a better opportunity to get the ball this season. But the numbers were so low last season. I'm not sure how much of a difference it's going to make when it comes to onside kicks. Gimmicky could be a good thing, though.
Well, they're going to need a year to find out. And then if it ticks up to from 8% to 12% and they decide, but we really want it around 20,
right,
then take one more person out of there and see what you get.
Yeah, it would seem to be the next logical step as opposed to a year from now, them looking at it and going 4th and 15, check. I don't know how the coaches, I'm not sure the coaches would ever vote for the 4th and 15 because they'd be too worried about officials swinging the outcome based on that play.
And I think that's fair.
Yeah.
It's a fair concern. Did you see the headline? I just tweeted this out. Zach Wilson, who's expected to go number 2 overall, has asked Mark Sanchez, Chad Pennington, and Josh McCown what it's like to play for the Jets. The Jets' response to that is, uh-oh. What's it like to play for the Jets? It's generally terrible and has been for, 40 years.
All right, I'll tell you. Let me see. I'll send Zach Wilson the headlines after the butt fumble. We can send, what, Chad Pennington yelling at the media. McCown wouldn't. I mean, what's McCown going to say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Darnold might have a few opinions on the New York media. It could be a little challenging. I'll say that, Mr. Wilson. It could be a little challenging playing in New York with the media.
Yeah. How about the other big NFL story from yesterday? Now, remind me, were you a fan of the number switch? The NFL loosening the number rules?
Yeah, it's fine. Why not? Sure.
Did you like it or hate it?
I didn't necessarily.
Why would anybody hate it? I mean, I don't think it's something that would actually anger anybody.
I mean, I'm not Tom Brady where he thinks it's the dumbest thing in the world. I don't care.
If you hated it before, does it make you feel better knowing that Tom Brady is really upset about it?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'm glad he's upset about
it. He's so upset about it. He posted twice on social media with circling headlines in big block letters that says, dumb. He's so mad.
So his beef is you won't know who to block because of number changes?
Right. Like, it's going to be more difficult, presumably to have a coach radio into your helmet, which guy is coming on a defensive play call. Are they still doing that for him in Tampa? No, it was allegedly. Allegedly.
Says the guy who was on the team where it would push the rules about who's eligible and not sure who's and all extra blockers, right? Did New England always kind of, I wouldn't say skirt the rules, but
they definitely pushed the rules
with
on
the
eligibility.
Rule book. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Other teams would complain about that.
Yeah, and here's Tom upset about it. Also, he says, why have numbers? I don't know, man. You went to Tampa and decided you needed to keep number 12, so Chris Godwin changed his number.
Why have numbers? I feel like it's kind of important for fans.
I mean, it was better than him switching to number 7 because, I'm going to go get number 7.
Maybe, if you're that angry, retire. Completely okay. I think, you know what? Brady's right. More power to him. I'm going to tweet at him. I don't follow him on Twitter. Maybe else. Make a stand. Make a statement. Announce your retirement because of the number change.
That's what someone whose genuineness shines through would
do. There you go. That's what a leader does.
That's right.
That's what someone who's looking out for the best interests of the sport, he retires today.
Dalvin Cook is looking into switching to number 4.
I saw that, right. That's what he wore at Florida State, right? I assume.
Yeah. I think they should film these guys when they're looking into it. So he's got to find out how much it would cost to buy out all of
jerseys.
The NFL. And I just feel like they should have a video camera on them. All right, Dalvin, you're interested. It's going to be $340,000. Yeah, 33 sounds great.
One more year.
Or if it's only $12,000 or whatever it might be. But Dalvin Cook's thinking about going back to number 4. He would immediately be the coolest running back in football.
That is a great number for a running back, I think. And
that's what he wore at Florida State.
Yeah, that's why I'm seeing his highlights in my head right now. And I watched that Florida State behind-the-scenes show they used to run. And that's a really good number. I think he should switch it. He can always ask Kirk Cousins for a loan or something. I mean, the guy's got tons of money. He can afford that. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. When it comes to the Bills' first selection in the draft, what positions are in the most likely category? David tweeted in 2, running back or edge. You can share your thoughts on that or whatever else is on your mind as we talk with you all morning long. Speaking of the draft, actually, in this case, how about a mock draft. The ultimate mock draft 2021. We are presenting that by the Locked On Podcast Network. It is available on Odyssey. You can join us now through Monday, this Monday the 26th, for the biggest mock draft event all year. Locked On local experts make their selections. Odyssey football experts, including Michael Irvin, former real Ross Tucker, Jason LaConfora, Brian Baldinger, will all offer their analysis. Get the picks, the trades, and the insight from all your favorite NFL teams by subscribing to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We are Odyssey, AUDACY.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Crazy how much of a difference 2 years can make, and obviously just getting the puck and looking up and all of a sudden you feel like you have more time than you've had in the past. That is definitely a thing, and obviously it helps when you feel that way, and I get to make better plays.
That is Casey Mittelstadt. He was on with us yesterday, and if you'd like to go back and listen to that interview, it is available for you in on-demand audio at WGR550.com.
I'm toying with the idea of a draft nugget of the day. For instance, there's a story here that Jerry Jones gets visions of sugar plums when talking about Kyle Pitts with Dak Prescott.
Really?
And I thought, don't tell me that a source says Jerry Jones gets visions of sugar plums. And the answer is no. Jerry Jones just said it on an actual call. The team shared a virtual meeting with Jerry Jones and Kyle Pitts, and he said, Jones said, quote, I'm excited to have you come into this league, and man, what a pair up we could do with old Dak Prescott and some of these guys we've got out there with options to get you the ball, so we can dream of visions of sugar plums around here.
I don't think I've ever dreamt of sugar plums.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That's a nice dream, yeah.
I have a stat of the day for you. It's,
you know what? I'm sorry. I was going to say, I thought, you know, there's 8 million mock drafts every day. I swear, I thought I saw one where Pitts actually fell out of, like, the top five, and I don't know, he might have still been on the board at 10. And I thought, yeah, I don't think he's going to be that far. He's going to drop that far. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I have a stat of the day for you. It's about the hockey team.
Hang on. Stat of the day. Whoa. Brayton, you ready? Stat of the day is brought to you by Cows of Buffalo. Get moving.
All right.
Got to get
now
milk.
It's a Friday.
Yeah, got to get
so
milk.
You get a 2-for-1. I need the snark cannon rolled out after the stat of the day.
Right. You get the cannon ready. Get moving with Cows of Buffalo.
Ready.
Container on wheels mobile storage. Rent a cow today. 592-3343.
Did you know we pulled a cannon out? Cows are actually doing it. Yeah.
Would you need... Is it a team
it's
of
on
oxen
wheels.
That would be better for this? Like yeah. Oxen really pulling? No? You wouldn't? All right.
So stat of the day. Jenna Harner, WPXI Sports, had this.
Former Buffalo broadcaster.
Yes. She had this about the Sabres and the Penguins. The Penguins currently have 25 different goal scorers this season, which is tied for most in the league, tied with Buffalo. What's that? Yes, that's
what?
Right. The Sabres and Penguins are tied for the most goal scorers in the league this year. The Sabres have 25 goal scorers.
Well, I'll be.
I'll be, right? Get ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Behold the power of balanced scoring.
I love the snark cannon.
Right? I mean, it's so important that you're balanced. It's so important.
Yeah, not so much.
Never was. More goals, not balance. Good times. I'm not mad about it.
You know, I'll throw in, I didn't have a stat today, but I remember this from the telecast, from the broadcast last night. So I'll throw it in. I don't want to update it with last night's result because it's not as much fun. But it was 5-on-5 scoring for the Sabres this season. Their goal differential, 5-on-5.
Yeah,
under Ralph Kruger, which would have been 28
games.
Minus 33.
Yeah.
It was minus 30, 36 goals scored, 69 goals given up 5-on-5. The first 17 games with Granato, minus one.
Until last night. So
like
a minus four. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Which, but, man, let me tell you, like, you know what a minus one gets you in goal differential? First off, the way the division goes, the Sabres are
overall, they're
a minus 49.
Yeah.
Well, if they played even strength at about even and they had Jack Eichel on the power play, they would compete.
Yeah, the power play was getting bad when he got hurt, and without him, it is literally almost doing nothing.
Worthless without him. Yeah, it's been good the last couple years, and this year it's
three for its last 60, I think, or something. It's a crazy. They have three power play goals in their last five. 5 for 68. 5 power play goals in their last 30 games played. So that's not so good.
Yeah.
All right, there's your stat of the day and your snark cannon bonus too. We'll do a little mock drafting when we get back. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 WGR.